This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You alone, my
redemption. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Amen. Oh man, there's no response, eh? This is the European response. We Africans, we talk too loud, we shout too loud, we praise too much. Yeah. Praise God. I want to thank you so much for this invitation. And this is really a blessing, especially to my wife, Rachel. It's her first time to come to Cape Town. And each time I came to Cape Town and then I go back, I'm telling her about the beauty of Cape Town, the cleanest city. And she said, oh, okay, thank you. So, but now she came, she saw it for herself. And going to the Table Mountain, which we didn't have the privilege of going up, but because it was too cloudy and windy, but we went to the Lion's Head, and oh man, the beauty of Cape Town is just awesome. And also going to the, you know, waterfront, getting to the boat, man, oh, it was wonderful, splashed with water, it was awesome. And then we went with our brother and sister, Eugene and Talita, to Hermanus. Going, we went the civilized way. But coming back, we came with the God's creation, where we went just along the ocean, coming down on the top of the mountain to the dam. What a gorgeous place. And we were just mesmerized to see the creation of God. You can see the whole thing speaking to you. You know, you feel like you can hear the voice of God on his creation. Isn't that wonderful place? But as we are coming, you know, enjoying this creation of God, then we were overtaken by two guys with their motorbikes. They zoomed, they went, in a minute they were gone. I said, these people cannot see the glory of God because they are too fast. So is life. When you are too fast, you can't see the beauty of God because your life is too fast. Yeah, so Rachel was just on top, and Deb was being a birthday, enjoying that creation. That added some, you know, icing on a birthday day. What a glorious time it was. We thank God. And also at Hermanas, we met our granddaughter, and we had a good time with her. And so before I preach, I would like to invite this gracious, wonderful woman God has given me. What a great saint. She is an intercessor and my pillar. I cannot do without her. You know, 2015, we almost lost her life. But I was saying, God, if she goes, I'll be disoriented completely. Because I don't know where I will start from and how I'll go, because she's the one who taught me how to eat properly. Because I used to eat like from the bridge, under the bridge. You could hear me 6 miles away chewing my food. I was like a pig. My wife says, honey, can you shut your mouth, please? So I learned to shut my mouth. And so I started eating like a European. But he also holding a knife and a fork. But so many things, I didn't know how to iron. I didn't know how to do many things. I was just from under the bridge. But it was my wife who taught me manners, how to respect even people. A godly woman, a woman of prayer. So I would like her to come and pray for us before we preach.
Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We praise you, we worship you, for you are God, God of the universe, who created everything according to your word. Thank you, Lord, for this time as we have gathered together this evening to hear your word. Lord, without you, we cannot do anything. So we ask you, Lord, as you are present already in our presence, Lord, we thank you. We just want to ask you to open our spiritual ears so we can hear what you have to say to us this evening. Help us, Lord, to open our spiritual eyes to see your glory and your beauty. I pray for your manservant, Lord, for your protection, for your anointing upon him as he will deliver your word so that we can hear what you have on your heart for us this evening. Thank you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Tonight I really didn't know what to say because this head is full of messages. I can preach 365 days. Each day has a message because it's so full inside me. I'm like a full tank. And I can speak for hours. Now you are ready to hear the word up to 2 o'clock in the morning. Hey, I can see red eyes. Uh-oh. Yeah, I'll try to keep your time. But we Africans, God gave us the time. You white people are given the watches. So you have the watches but no time. But we have no watches but plenty of time. Yes, you ask an African to come 2 o'clock, he comes 3 o'clock. And he's still on time. Amen. Yeah, that's how we are Africans, you know. God has given us a long, 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 long time. When we greet you, your father, your dog, your chickens, everything. So meanwhile, time is going. So that's how we are. We are a community. Yeah. So tonight I just want to share a message on the blessing of being on an unfamiliar place. The blessing of being on an unfamiliar place. So often we become Christians, or we are trying to be Christians, but we get used to the familiar position. That familiar place, you almost know where the stone is. You know, you can even blindfold, you can even skip that stone because it's too familiar. You know it so well. And even in your house, even the, you know, this Eskom, when they switch off the light, you know exactly how to go through in your dark house. It's your familiar position. And in that familiar position, you get used to that area. But also in the spiritual realm, we get used because we have been Christians for so many years. And the Bible sometimes doesn't speak to us because we have become too familiar with the Word of God. Before the Bible, when reading the Bible, you would read and cry. Literally cry when you are reading the Word of God. And you couldn't stop reading because it was just too good. You almost hearing God speaking to you. But when you become familiar, it becomes a boring book. And then you start sleeping when you read two verses. You're already, sleeping on the Bible. And you start praying, you find that there's no joy of talking to the Lord. When I was proposing Rachel, normally I'm a fast driver. The British man who taught me how to drive, he started teaching me to drive at 120 kilometers an hour, first time to hold a steering. So I've been used to fast driving, zooming through traffic, that's me. But when I'm with Rachel, I drive at 10 kilometers an hour. Because I'm with the queen of my life. So you have to respect her slowly. I don't want her to put brakes, artificial brakes. You know, so I drive slowly when Rachel is in the car. You understand what I'm saying? But now you become too familiar with everything. And too familiar with your relationship in marriage. When you become too familiar and you get used, and that romantic touch is no more there. It fades away. Those little honeymoon kisses, they go. And when you kiss, it's sometime after 2 weeks, then you think, oh, I didn't kiss her. Sometimes you have got to be called back at the door. You are rushing, going to work. Honey, you are going without kissing. Oh, yes, sorry. You rush. You know, it's becoming too familiar. Are we together? When you become too familiar, everything is in a rush because you have become too familiar with what you know, or your marriage, or at work. Even at work, people who are, when they start work, they are so faithful. But when they become familiar, they start coming late. You know, there was transport problem. But the first month, there was no transport problem. They would come right on time because they are new. But when they become familiar, they start excuses and so on. And so in the church as well, when we become too familiar in our spiritual lives, there is no enthusiasm. There's no that excitement about Jesus. There's not that joy in the Lord. And it fluctuates. Sometimes you are on top of the mountain praising the Lord. Another day you are in the valley with a gloomy face. What we call a donkey face in Malawi. You know, when you have a donkey face is too long, there's no joy. No, you have to have a teapot face. You know, teapot is all high, you know. Rejoicing in the Lord. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Your joy must be infectious. Amen? Yeah, so I want to share tonight from these scriptures. So I'll be picking up a few verses here and there, and then we finish, we go, we bless you, and then you go and sleep. Amen. Yeah. So the first verse, the steps to this unfamiliar place where you find the blessing of being there. In other words, if you stay too long on the familiar position, even your blessings fade away. You don't even know what God is doing to you. That's why the writer of the song is, count your blessings one by one. Don't put them in the basket, all of them. You won't know what God is doing. Count them one by one. Amen? Yeah, so when you count one by one, you know exactly each day God is doing in your life. You know each month God is doing in your life. You can count them one by one. What a joy when you look at the list of what God is doing in your life, because you are not on the familiar position. You are at this place, unfamiliar place, where you find God in a new way. You find you are amazed when you come at this unfamiliar place. You say, wow, it's a wow place. If you stop saying wow, you have been used to your place. Because when you see God in a new place, wow, tomorrow, wow, wow. So it becomes Mr. Wow. Wow. Yeah. Are we together? Yeah, so when you are seeing God in your life, even in your business, where you have conducted your, you have to be saying, wow, God is blessing me in my business. That's God. Even in your business, you say, wow, God has taken from here to here. This is the prophet I've met this month, and this is what God is. It's a wow with God. Wow. And you say, hey, my husband loves me too much this time. I've never had such kisses in my life. Hallelujah. So you say, this man, the way he loves me, is spoiling me. He says, wow. Amen? That's what God wants us to be. I get bored with Christians who look like, you know, as if the world is ending today. You know, there's no joy. You know, they are gloomy. What? I said, hey, is this born again or what? So the joy of the Lord has to flourish in your life all the time. Amen. Yeah. You know, for some of us who are created black and ugly, but the joy makes us handsome. Amen. Have you ever seen a man like me, full of joy, but I'm the most handsome man in the world? Yeah, because God, when he takes you away from the familiar position, he takes you to this strange place. You don't know anything about this new place. And that's where God is seated on the throne to discover him in a new way. Then when you discover him in a new way, you say, wow. I didn't know this part of God. Why our granddaughter who is in Hermanas Tia, when she was about 4 years old, she said, Grandpa, tell me, why do angels sing one song for trillion and trillion of years? Hey, so I didn't want to answer, you know, with my clever ideas. So I said, yeah, let me go and pray first. So she put me into fasting and praying for 3 days. You know, seeking the face of the Lord, how to answer this little girl. But while I was in my office, locked myself, even on Saturday, the whole day I was there, locked myself, crying, God, how do I answer this girl? But as I was praying, the Lord used my granddaughter's question to minister to me. And I've never seen such a thing in my life. Like it was like a vision, which I saw, seeing these angels, you know, going like God is here. They go around God, going around with two wings covered, two wings flying, two wings cover their legs. But each time they see this part of God, they see the glory they've never seen ever. So they say, oh, holy, they want to stop. Oh, holy. They want, oh, holy. They go on and on and on. They've seen colors of God they've never seen before. And God has never repeated one color twice. We have blue, green, the same colors we repeat, but God has never repeated one color twice. That's an awesome God. For trillion of years, he's still using many colors, and we don't know them. Eh? I was in America, and when they took me to see the space, I started crying as I was looking at the space. My tears just rolled down. I'm not a person, when I see the glory of God, I just keep quiet. No, for me, it affects my spirit, affects my whole being to see the glory of God. And I saw the stars I've never seen before. So God, when he takes us to a new place, he shows himself at this unfamiliar position. Amen. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Well-known verse. And God, in his love, he invites us. It's a comparative. He is not, in this case, God is not a white person or Africana or what, because the white person says, please come. Is that right? Please come. As a belief. That's Africans, eh? Yeah, as a belief. Then in African language, God, it's only time where God becomes an African, because in African language, we don't have please. We don't have as a belief. We just say come. We just say come. So here, God is not using as a belief or please. He says come. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. And I hope we are together as a church. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, it says, come now. Now, this word come now is imperative. It is like an authority. Come, not tomorrow. When God says come, he means now. He means now. But the devil says, no, you'll do it tomorrow. When tomorrow comes, it's tomorrow. Tomorrow comes, it's tomorrow. Until you die in your sin. But God says, come now. Now, when you come now, is that word come, the word goes to my brother, and he hears that word come. Now, that word alone without now, it affects his mind. And when it affects his mind, it affects his will. Now, when it affects his mind, it affects his will, Eugene will stand up. I didn't touch him, but I just said, Eugene, come. So he responds because I've affected his mind, I've affected his whole will. Are we together? I've affected his whole will. He says, yeah, I've heard that when he says stand, he stands. Come, he comes. But I didn't push him, I didn't force him, but I've touched his will, I've touched his mind, I've touched his personality. So this whole body responds. So God, when he says come, now he means that. Maybe you have been on this unfamiliar position for too long, but God says, come now. Then he says now, hey, man, I know you've had these problems in your life. You are struggling to read the Bible. You are struggling to pray. You are struggling with this. Come now. Let us reason together. What a God who says, let us talk. To deal with that thing, that laziness of prayer, foot and mouth disease. Do you know many Christians have got foot and mouth disease? But that's for animals. But when it affects Christians, they don't talk about Jesus. They don't go for Jesus. Because they've been affected with the foot and mouth disease. They cannot talk about Jesus. They will not walk for Jesus. But even they will not give for someone to go on their behalf. You know, when we say give the church, you are sending Stephen, you are sending Eugene, you are sending your pastor to go on your behalf to preach the gospel. But if you are stingy, I will not go. Hey, I thought there was going to be amen, but it's silent. Hey. When you start money business, oh, everything is quiet. But if I spoke about ice cream, oh, that would be hallelujah. Yeah, in America, I told them that when you don't have ice cream in your fridge, you think you are suffering. Oh, I don't have ice cream, I'm suffering. Come to Africa, we'll tell you about suffering. Yeah, so God says, come, let us reason together. It is together with God and you talk about the plan to the unfamiliar place. So God says, come, let us reason together. First, God wants you to reason together with yourself. Many people have never found victory because they've never reasoned with themselves. They still struggle with themselves. They are still in the shell of discomfort, in the shell of anger, bitterness about the past. Sometimes some things happen in the past. So you are locked in the past. And you struggle inside in the past of things that happened in the past. So people try to live in the present, but the past is dragging them backwards. Are we together? I struggled for 5 years. I was saved as a Christian, born again in the big tent, accepted Jesus as a guerrilla fighter, a gang leader, a murderer, a drug addict. That night, Jesus comes into my life, changes my life. But for 5 years, I was preaching the gospel, but inside me, I still had a very anti-white spirit. A Christian, but an anti-white spirit. I still hated white people. Especially when I see their nose, I would hate this long nose. Me with my flat nose, I thought I was good. But you know, the hatred, it troubled me for 5 years. Would go together with a white man, preach the gospel. Thousands of people come to Jesus, but I was still carrying my past with me. I was scared. So every evening, this Afrikaner who adopted me, who took me from the streets, I was stinking, I was smelling. I had lice. He gave me the first bath of my life. You should have seen the color of water that day. It was darker than me. Wow. And the lice were floating on the water. You have never had such kind of an experience where lice in your hair and so on. But I had lice. I had my shorts which had 2 windows at the back. You have never worn that type of clothes. And I never worn shoes before. I started wearing shoes when I was 22 years old. First time a white man bought me a pair of shoes that was a bit oversized because my feet were like a duck. They've never been inside shoes. So he had to buy a little bit of oversized. And that day, I remember when I was walking like a robot, you know. I had never worn shoes. I was even smiling at my shoes. But some of you grew up wearing shoes. Me, it was first time. But the man gave me to sleep under bed sheets for the first time. First time in my life. I was sleeping under a bridge with my sacks, with my cartons. But first time I eat the best food, sleep in the very nice blankets. I mean, I felt I was like in heaven. But, you know, for 5 years, the same man who gave me clothes, 5 years, I wanted to kill him. I wanted to stab him with a knife. While he was fast asleep, I would go with a knife to kill him. Remember one day I took a 6-inch nail with a hammer to pierce it through his ears. He was snoring well that day. I said, oh, that's my good chance to kill this white man with the long nose. So I went there just as I'm about to do, a voice behind me, Stephen, I turn around. I'm afraid, shaking, frightened. Many times God spoke to me, for 5 years wanting to kill this white man because I was born again, but I was on my back carrying, you know, the white man. I had not forgiven the white man. If you don't forgive someone, you carry that person. on your back, and that person is heavy. I'm telling you, he's heavy. You see that person, you feel inside like, oof, you want to change the road because you are carrying that person. But forgiveness is that when one day I went to Victoria Falls, I started praying, God says, come now, let us reason together. I started reasoning with myself. When I reasoned with myself, I said, now I needed to reason with God. When you reason with God, that's the beginning of your inner healing. So that moment, as I reasoned with God, God says, Stephen, you have steps you have to take in the inner healing. So this is the beginning. So I reasoned with God. But now that was not enough. Together with God, first together with myself, secondly together with God. But you can't say you are forgiven with God together with your brother, together with your sister. You have to reason together with that person you don't love, you hate most. So for 5 years I struggled, and God under the bridge at Victoria Falls spoke to me and said, God, I'm going to quit Christianity. I'm going to tear my Bible. I'm going to do unless you forgive me. You deal with this hatred against the white man. Why? I'm preaching the gospel, but I still hate the white man. Why? I struggled. And that at that place at Victoria Falls, I felt like something came from heaven, you know, taking away this big cement which was on my chest. And God removed it. And when he removed it, I felt the joy. Tears just rolled down. And I went to this white man, my good African brother. I hugged him. His shoulder was soaked in tears. As I was repenting, I said, forgive me, forgive me. For 5 years, I've been wanting to kill. Huh? You know, when white people are afraid, they become red, red, red. And we black people, we become pitch black. Oh. So we forgive each other. And suddenly, Lord, God took out the scales in my eyes to see a white man as God's creation. From that day on, it stopped to see a white man as a white man. I see every white man, black, colored, as God's creation. And I've never had a problem with all colors of people. I thank God. And when God healed me, God gave me all my best friends are white people. I got to just 2-3 black friends, but all the rest are white people. Praise his name. And then God has got a sense of humor to see that truly, truly, I was delivered from this spirit. My fourth born son marries a white girl in England. Wow. He calls me dad. I'm in love. I said, bless you, my son. God bless you. Is she born again? Yes, Dad, she's born again. But, I said, oh, but what now? He said, but Dad, she's a white lady. I said, oh, praise God, go ahead. He says, Dad, I know you are born again now. God proved. So God gave me this wonderful granddaughter, Melissa. She's British, very white. But what a glorious girl God has given us in our family. Oh, mama, mama. And then our youngest daughter is married by a man from Portugal. So I've got Portugal, I've got, you know, English, UK, Africans, we've got all India, all our grandchildren are colors. Isn't that wonderful? So we have got all the colors. Now we want to bring in Indians now. Hallelujah. That's what God can do when he brings healing. you cease to see someone's color at his color, but you see God's creation. That's what God did. Come together, let's reason together. That's the step of the inner healing. So when you reason together, said, though your sins are as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. That's what God is saying, isn't so? Now, the number two, Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. I want to go through quickly that we finish, because I want you to invite me again next time. When I take too long, I know you will never invite me. That guy speaks too long. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus comes and says to these guys, come. The same word now, come. It's a command, it's an imperative. Come. He's never saying please. That's where God will never say please, because he wants you. When he means you, he means you. He wants you to commit yourself. It's a marriage vow. When I said to Rachel, the two words I wanted from Rachel, honey, I love you, I want to marry you. There were two words I was waiting from Rachel, yes or no. Those were the two words I was waiting for. But she said yes. The moment she said yes, she was saying to all the boys in Malawi, I don't love you except Stephen. Hallelujah. That yes only. That word yes. She was denying everybody. But when she said yes, that means her shoes belong to me, her dresses belong to me, her hair belong to me. That yes. So when Jesus saying, come, he wants you to give you a ring, a wedding ring of his spirit upon your life. When the spirit of God seals you with his spirit, you become his forever. Before my mother and father dumped me in the streets at the age of four, we were so poor, that my mother would buy some buns. When she buys some buns, she would cut half or meat in half. So she would say, let us pray. So I would say, now I must look for the bigger piece. So I would look at the bigger piece, and then I would spit on it, poof, 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 so that my brother should not take it. So we go to prayer, and I'll be sitting nicely because I've spit on it. I've put a mark on it. So when my mother said amen, obviously my brother would take the one I didn't spit it on. So the one I spit on, I put a mark. He can't take it because it was a bigger piece. So God, when he wants you, when he says come, he also wants to put his mark on you. The seal of the Holy Spirit upon your life. That you belong to him and him alone. Amen. It's a marriage vow. You belong to him and him alone. But so many people, we are playing double. We play church, we play the world. We play church, we play the world. We are in two worlds. The way the world dresses, we dress the same way, and we come with the same world we dress in the church, where women expose the chest too much. And even the short dresses, you know, almost it's like a shorts, but it's a dress. So the world is creeping in the church because we are playing in two worlds. We have never come completely. We have never committed our lives to Jesus completely. You go in the shops, you want to buy dresses now. All the designers are designing the dresses according to the world standard. You go in the shop, you have got to struggle, shop after shop, to look for a decent dress. We go in the shop, my wife wants a longer dress, but you find, oh, this is beautiful. But when you go inside, it is split from here, up to down. Oh, I don't want one. I want a proper dress. You see what I'm talking about? You understand what I'm saying? That's how the world is. But now the church is also taking a little bit of the world. It's like in marriages, those who fight here in Somerset, you don't fight in your marriages, you are blessed. But there in Africa, we give each other missiles, husband and wife. But some they don't give with this, but with the tongue. Ooh, the tongue is another missile. That anger, in church, they come on Sunday like, you know, wonderful people, but at home, he has been a bulldog. How can you enjoy Jesus like that, the way you speak to your wife? You don't honor her. I'm married 46 years with this lady. And I'm still opening the door for her. When she was young, I opened the door for her. She went in the car. She sat down. I shut the door. But some of you open only the wedding day. Finish. And now even blow the horn. Pimpi, hurry up. Poor woman. She's running. Hurry up, Pimpi. I know you will not like me, but I'm an evangelist. Pastors preach good. They preach good. They are like this grader, I know, the smooth thing. But me, I'm a D24. Pulling down bulldozers and so on. Trees. That's who I am. Hallelujah. So, he says, come. Now, any child can come to Jesus. Anybody can come to Jesus. I'm telling you, even the little ones, two-year-old ones, they can come to Jesus. Easy. Very easy. But the following word is difficult. It says, come and follow. Anyone who has found easy to follow Jesus, I will give you dollars. Man, that's the toughest thing to follow Jesus. To come to Jesus is so easy, but to follow, tough. I just accepted the Lord Jesus. I went to my good Presbyterian church. I am a Presbyterian. The chosen frozen ones. Yeah. From heaven, you are the chosen frozen ones. You are not allowed to clap hands there. You are not even allowed to smile. We're very religious. Very quiet. And you say amen, they say, shh. Don't say amen in this church. So first thing, I had to hold my mouth because I was full of joy in the Lord. Just accepted Jesus. So I had to hold my mouth. Then I would, when he preached, I would say, amen. I struggled. And then they kicked me out of the church for saying hallelujah. So 3 years I was excommunicated in the church because I had said hallelujah. So for 3 years I was attending service by the window outside, persecuted by my own church. Can you stand? Some of you say, oh, I'll join another church. Man, if you join another church, that's defeat. You have been defeated already. Stand there. Where you have been disciplined, chased out, stand there. That's where you grow in your faith. If God wants to produce a giant, he uses persecution. It's not easy. I've been beaten. I've been arrested 5 times. I've been locked in prison for preaching the gospel. Beaten almost to death. Put in a sack to be thrown in a river. Man, following Jesus is tough. It's tough. It's not this smoothie, you know, where you sit down. You know. Well, I know, for us, we sing that song, when he leads me, I will follow. Yes, that's the word. Then when what he feeds me, I will swallow. We swallow everything what he feeds us because I've learned to follow him. So God created an international stomach Some of you have got South African stomachs. If you go where I preach, you throw out some food. But no, me, God trained me out of the bridge where I was eating junk food. It was my Bible college for now that I can go anywhere in the world. I'll eat any kind of food from China, eating snakes or monkeys in Congo. I've never thrown out food because I have an international stomach. Some of you have got South African stomachs. Oh, this food I cannot eat. I cannot. Ah, no, not with me. Not me. God doesn't even scratch his head when he wants to send me. He just says, Stephen, go, I go. Jump, I jump. Run, I run. Eat, I eat. That's what God. So when he said, come, he meant it. Then he said, follow me. Following Jesus is like in the military. Those who have been in the military know what I'm talking about. When I joined Robert Mugabe as a soldier, fighting in the bush in Harare against the white government, they told us what belongs to you is your soul, but the whole body belongs to the army. So they trained you to be a soldier. When you are at a drill at your attention, the commander comes, you know, inspect you, and he will just say for nothing, you are a fool. You just say, thank you, sir. You are stupid. Thank you, sir. You can't respond otherwise. Otherwise, you are punished. All what they're doing in those 6 months, they are squeezing out the you of Somerset West. The way you behave in Somerset West in the army, they squeeze out every juice of you. Then another 6 months, they pump military thinking, military behavior, military walking. When you leave the army, you walk with your chest, you know, out like this. You don't walk so much way like this. You change. Are we together? You change. So Jesus, when he says, come, follow, he was taking these poor fishermen from smelling fish that they must smell people. They must smell people. From that day onward, it was going to be tough following Jesus. So when he says, come, follow me, he is taking you to an unfamiliar position. Are we together? An unfamiliar position where you see God in a new way, say, wow. Wow. Then Jesus says, come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. The other come is Matthew. I would skip other comes here. Let's read Luke chapter 19. I'm about to finish. Hey. You are looking at me with, I'm frightened now. Luke chapter 19. If you see verse 5, there was that short man called Zacchaeus. You know that story? Yeah, Zacchaeus says, oh, I want to Jesus. So he's trying to jump to see, but he was too short. So he says, okay, I've got an idea. Let me run ahead. He runs ahead. But when he runs ahead, he goes up in the tree that I will see Jesus. Now, when you want to see Jesus that way, that means Jesus is down there. You are up there. So the Bible says when Jesus arrived at the spot, it was Jesus who saw Zacchaeus first. And he says, hey, Zach, come down. Hey, Zach, come down. I came from heaven to meet with you on your level ground on the dust, but you are going upwards. And that's how we are. We climb the trees of pride. We climb the trees of self-recognition. We climb the trees of, so I've been a Christian for many years. So what? So what? That's why you lose freshness in your life, because you're counting, I've been a Christian for so many years. You are counting your years. Man, this business of going up there to a new family and unfamiliar position is a fresh business every day. Amen. Every day. You have to renew yourself. Oh, my. I share my testimony thousands of times. Say, hey, Steve, the way you share your testimony, you share as if you were saved yesterday. I said yes. Because I have time with God in the morning to get that freshness. So to me, everything is fresh every day. Hallelujah. So it says, come down. Listen at verse 5. Is that verse 5? Yeah. When Jesus reached this spot, when he reached this spot, there are some spots in your life Jesus reaches at that spot. And then he saw you. He says, come down. Now, the step to the unfamiliar position is the step of coming down. Hallelujah. An eagle, for it to fly high, where it is born as an eaglet, it has to be thrown down. When the mother pushes it on the cliff, the mother wants the eaglet to open the wings. The eaglet doesn't fly like a dove. A dove flies like this, fast, but not the eagle. Eagle flaps 3 times. 1, 2, 3. It goes upwards. When it goes upwards, it lets go and soar in the power of the wind. And it uses the wind to go higher, higher, higher. It just goes, you know, goes. That's what God wants to do to you, to that unfamiliar position where you will soar in the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to his name. If you are not there, I said, God, I've been on the familiar position too long. I want to go higher. When you go higher, this church will be different. This church will be different because everyone will be in business for God. Because God did not save you to sit. Salvation Army, they write S&S, saved to serve others. But in some churches, saved to sit. And when they sit comfortably. No, you are not saved to sit, but saved to serve. That's why me, since I was saved, people ask me, Stephen, how did God call you? I said, I don't know when I was called. Up to now, I don't know how I was called into the ministry. I cannot tell you this was my calling, it went like this. No, I don't know. I was saved on Sunday, 8 o'clock. A guerrilla fighter, 7 o'clock. A murderer, 7 o'clock. A gang leader, drug addict, 7 o'clock. Terrifying people, 7 o'clock. 8 o'clock, I invited Jesus into my life. My life was transformed. A brand new Stephen came around. On following day, going to the police to surrender myself, I stand up in the bus. Ladies and gentlemen, last night Jesus came into my life. Many people started crying in the bus. One woman said, what must I do? I said, well, I don't know. I was only less than 24 hours in the Lord. But when we got downtown, I forced all the people who were crying in the bus to kneel down, to confess their sins, to repent. And I led 7 people to Jesus when I was less than 24 hours in the Lord. And I've never stopped ever since. Ever since. So I cannot tell you when God called me. Me, it was a mixed grill the same day, born again the same day, called the same day, filled by the Spirit of God. So I've never stopped you. I go through the immigration. I use my passport to preach to the immigration officers. They start crying. I lead them to Jesus. If you sit next to me in the plane, unfortunately, I'll talk about Jesus. I can't help it. Sometimes I raise my voice a little bit higher for the rest to hear. But I've seen people crying in the plane, right above the clouds. How could I find this Jesus leading people to Jesus above the clouds? That's me. That's how God called me. I'm me. Praise the Lord. And people think, oh, I was a very introvert person. Very introvert person. But when Jesus saved me, wow, he made me a different Stephen. A different Stephen altogether. And I love him. Man, I love my Savior. I can't zip my mouth to see all what he has done for me. And nobody who didn't know how to speak English, who didn't know how to write even at the age of 20, never went to school. I didn't have the privilege of going to school. But today I speak 10 languages fluently. But a nobody who never went to school. Hallelujah. And nobody who know God picks me up. You know, I go and preach in the parliament in Australia. I preach, you know, in New Zealand. I go to America at White House. And nobody who never went to school. After I preached, Obama says, can I have the notes you have used? No, Obama has got my notes, but from somebody who never went to school. Eh? God can pick up a nobody, but God, when you say, hey, God, here is my life, he takes you out from this familiar position to an unfamiliar position. Then there is a wow business. They say, wow. When they invited me to Pentagon to speak to all the CIA intelligence, the top military guys of the Army of America, Obama happened to be there. I preached on Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. You know, God, when he takes you from this position to another. So he says, come up here, the last one, just to comfort you that I'm finishing. I've left all the other comes, but just picked you on these three. Because I want you to invite me again. Revelation chapter 4, and then we close with that one. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Then I close with that one. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. You got it? Yeah. Now, when you look at that verse, it's wonderful because it starts with after. I said I didn't go to school, but I enjoy speaking English. After. In Afrikaans is what? Now. Yeah. After. Now, when you start a sentence with after, that means prior to this sentence, there was something else happening. Is that right? So if you read what was happening, then it says, after this, I looked. Where did he look, John? Where did he look? He said, I looked and behold, a door was opened. Why is he seeing that door? In the sky. In the universe. That's why he's seeing the door open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet, bam, parah, talking with me. When God has to use a trumpet to talk to you, maybe there's wax in you. So God has to use a trumpet. So you need to remove that wax. Why is he using a trumpet? He says, like a trumpet with me, which said, come where? Up here. Come up here. So God, what he's saying, you leave this level, you come to this unfamiliar position, you come to that unfamiliar position, up, you go up. Then when you come up there, God promises it, I love that. Eh? He says what? Come up, I will show you these things must be hereafter. So God says, I will show you new things in your life, brand new things, but leave the past with you. let the past go. When the past goes, man, you fly like a bird because you have come from the shell of the past. Amen? So that's what happened. When we forgave each other with this white man, we hugged each other, he became my friend, he became, in Afrikaans, my bro. Yeah, he was a kefa bro. And from that day, I never had a problem. If someone says, you are a baboon, I look behind, I see I have no tail. I said, praise God. But before, I would kill you. Before, I would kill you. But now, I have no problem. You say, kefa, black, whatever. It doesn't affect me. Because I know who I am. I know my new identity in Christ. I'm special. I'm unique. I am like an apple of his eye. So these words don't affect me. You can say them what they don't even touch me. Because when God saved me, when he took the past away from me, my whole perception changed. So that's what God has done into my life. So God is saying, come up here. Then he says, I will show you. This is King James, but let me read in the proper language. Yeah. And then he says, I will show you what must take place after this. He repeats, after this. And then he goes, at once. When now your position has changed, at once. I was in the spirit. My brother, sister, when you take a new position, at once, immediately, I was in the spirit. When that happens, you are untouchable. You are unstoppable. Nothing can stop you because even when you go to work without preaching, you don't have to preach even at work, but because you are in the spirit, everyone say, I look, you are different. He says, yes, I'm rejoicing. Yeah, we can see you are you haven't preached, but something is happening. Because it is after this, God takes you in the spirit. And then from there, I say, when you're there in heaven, a throne was set. One was seated on the throne. You see the one seated on the throne. When you see the one sitting on the throne, this posture of like young people of today, you put your cap behind, chewing gum, I love Jesus, with their pants, you know, underpants. I mean, I said, hey, where did you learn to dress this? Man, dress properly. So you find, but when you see after this, when you see your posture change, you learn to bow down to worship the King of Kings. And then it's a wow business. Have you ever been there? Have you ever reached that place? If you're not, you say, God, I'm struggling on my familiar position. I want to go higher. May God bless you tonight to change position. Shall we pray? Maybe there are many here who say, God, I'm still struggling with my past, but I want to go higher. I want to go to this wow place that I will see new things. Stand up where you are. You say, God, minister into my life this evening. Just stand up where you are. Those who say, God, I want you to touch me. I want to leave this familiar position. I've been here too long. I want to go higher. I want to see the glory of God into my life. You say, God, please minister into my life. Touch my life. Don't do it because others are doing. I want this you to mean business. Because Jesus meant business going to the cross. He meant business. So I don't want, if you are playing games, rather sit down. But I want people who mean business that, God, I've heard their name come. And I've come now. I want you to take me to an unfamiliar position where the blessing of the Lord is. Oh God, bless me. You love-
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.